Thank you so much, ladies. Appreciate your ministry to us. Let's pray before we open the Word of God this evening. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We know it's living and powerful. And I pray that you would use your Word to really impact our hearts and to change our lives. I pray that you would use your Word tonight to drive us to our knees to adore Messiah, the Christ, and to forevermore worship him. Lord, we're thankful for your love for us. I pray we don't neglect it. I pray that we make you preeminent, first place in our hearts. If someone doesn't have you there tonight, Lord, I pray that you would use your Word and your Spirit to bring them to that place. And for those of us who know Christ, Lord, just give us a longing for him evermore and just heart that adores him even more than we did when we walked in these doors. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to see all of you, a lot of family in town, and I'm thrilled for that. And I hope that you all just have a very Merry Christmas as a family with your loved ones. We as a church have been trying to finish a difficult year, 2020, off well by rejoicing in the promises of Christmas and really focusing in Scripture on good news, which we definitely need every year, but especially it seems this year of all years. We've been doing a verse-by-verse study in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And we've intentionally gone through from Matthew 1:1, and we're going to tonight finish with verse 15 of chapter 2. And we've been focusing on the promises of Christmas that God has given us. The very first Sunday of this month, we rejoiced in Jesus, the promised Messiah that these ladies so beautifully just sang about. And the next week, we rejoiced in Jesus, the promised Savior. This past Sunday, we rejoiced in Jesus, the promised Shepherd. And tonight, on Christmas Eve, you and I, we get to rejoice in Jesus, the promised Son. So we're all on the same page. I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 15. We looked at verses 1 through 6 quite in depth this past Sunday. But to bring us all together to understand verses 7 through 15, I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 2, 1 through 15. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So tonight, as we together rejoice in Jesus, the promised son, first of all, this Christmas, I encourage you to worship God's promised son. To just unpack a little bit of what I've read here tonight, these wise men, like I stated Sunday, they were more than likely astrologers. Verse 2, verse 9, it says that they saw a star. And we have no idea if it was the Christmas star that us Chicagoans missed out on seeing this past week, right? It's so sad that we had a cloudy day and we couldn't see that. Thankfully, I had some family and friends where the skies were clear and I got some pictures of it. Maybe you were able to get some of those too. But we don't know if it was something like that or if it was actually the glory of the Lord. But what we do know is the star, whatever it was, it appeared and it guided them eventually to the house where Jesus was. And their reaction when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, I'm guessing in my mind's eye here, these wise men probably were a lot more composed than most kids and grandkids are with Christmas just around the corner. But I think the intent of their heart, the inward feelings, were just like kids, just excited for Christmas tomorrow, you know? So here they are, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. God in his grace, he gave these stargazers great light. And what did they do with the light that God gave them? They responded to it, and they pursued after Christ until they found him. And so, verse 10, their long journey was over. They found who they were looking for. They were beyond thrilled, and they went into the house. Now, we don't know if that phrase, the house, there in verse 11, is the same house associated with the manger where Christ was born or not. But I do want you to understand that term house there in verse 11, it helps us understand there's been quite some time that has passed from the birth of Christ now to this moment when the wise men show up on the scene. Verse 11 says, they went into the house and saw the child. There again is another phrase that helps us understand there's some time from the moment of his birth to this moment. We don't know approximately how long it was from birth to this moment, but Bible scholars guess anywhere from 12 to 24 months time has passed. So when they went into the house, they saw the child, they responded appropriately. They fell down and worshiped him. And if you like to mark in your Bibles, as you go back through this account, worship is used three different times in this text alone here. And these wise men, they fell down, they worshiped him. They definitely had a heart of worship. They believed that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. They properly responded to a king by bowing down before him. And we hear they physically expressed their worship to the king, King Jesus, giving him gifts. And the gifts that they gave are intentional. They're unique. Gave him gold. And when you think about a gift of gold, it's very fitting for a king to receive that kind of a gift. But they also gave frankincense. And if you know anything about incense and its use in scripture, you know that priests used and burnt incense in the temple, and that smell went up to the Lord, and it was a pleasing aroma to him. And so frankincense is just a fitting gift for a priest. And then myrrh is a lovely ointment and perfume. Myrrh, often in that culture, was used to prepare a body for burial. Maybe it was foreseeing what Christ was going to eventually do. We don't know, but it sure does preach nice. You know what I'm saying? But myrrh, they gave him this gum resin that was just a wonderful perfume. They worshiped the promised son. And as we think about their response, I hope you understand that that's the response that God wants you and me to respond to Christ with this Christmas. He wants you and I to worship his promised son, to rejoice that our great God sent the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, the promised shepherd, the promised son. And he sent him not only for his people Israel, but he sent him for all who would believe. Amen? Rejoice in that. Worship the promised son. In 2021, just around the corner here, we're going to be going back to our study in Genesis. We're going to be picking up in chapter 12 at a very key spot in regards to God's plan for redemption. And it's just beautiful what we're going to be seeing early in 2021 and just how it ties to this event right now. We're going to start off, like I said, in Genesis chapter 12. And if you know anything about Genesis chapter 12, God gave Abraham a very important promise. He made a covenant with him. You see it on the screen. God told Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And here's what's so awesome. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Friends, this blessing that God was referring to here to Abraham at that moment, that blessing is found in the promised son, Jesus Christ. And as we've looked at Matthew chapter 1 and that genealogy, it starts out in verse 1 of Matthew 1. Jesus, the son of Abraham. And it goes on in Matthew 1:21, and it tells us why Jesus, the son of Abraham, came to this earth. He came to save his people from their sins. And so, friends, tonight, if you are saved and you know it, rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Give thanks. Praise God for his amazing grace in your life. And if you aren't sure if you know Christ, I hope you understand that all of that can change tonight. It can. Christmas is a great time for you to come to Christ, to humble yourself before a loving God, to confess your sins to him, turn away from them, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to save his people from his sins. Well, how did he do that? Well, he lived a sinless life, and then he died a sacrificial death. He died on the cross, paying the penalty for your sins and for mine. He was buried, but on the third day, he victoriously rose from the dead. And today, he offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life in him to all who believe. So if you don't have the assurance of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I encourage you, put your faith and trust in him tonight. Tonight. I say that because you definitely don't want to leave out these doors and respond to the good news that we're hearing from God's word in the way that the Jews in this text responded to that good news. You go through the Gospels and you read about how the Jews responded to the one that they were longing for. It's awful. John 1:11, he came to his own people and his own people did not receive him. And if you've been following closely Matthew 1 and 2 in our journey through it, nowhere do we see Jews worshiping the promised son. Nowhere. And, you know, some people say, well, maybe they didn't know. But we read a text to start our service off that tells us that they had to know. Because the shepherds did their responsibility. They saw the Christ and they went on and they told all kinds of people the saying that had been made known to them. And sadly, it goes on in Luke 2:18 and it tells us all who heard it from the mouths of these shepherds, they wondered. They wondered at what they told them. And they wondered for 12 to 24 months. Don't let that be your response, friends. Don't walk out of here after hearing the good news and go on wondering about it for the next 12 months. I'm glad you're here. But as you are hearing the good news of the gospel through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you go out here and you wonder about it, that's on you. You don't have to do that. I would be more than willing to help you understand this so that you can know it and believe it. So after the service, come talk to me. We'll set up a time and we'll start meeting. If you don't want to talk with me, talk to the loved ones that brought you here. They'd be glad to share this good news with you. There are answers for you in the Word of God. So don't be left to just wonder about what you're hearing. Talk to somebody. And then cling to this promise. God says all who did receive Christ, who believed in his name, they became children of God. And that can be true of you too, if you put your faith and trust in him. So this Christmas, worship God's promised son. Secondly, I encourage you to trust God's protective care. Last Sunday, we talked about how brutal and how ruthless Herod was as a leader. He was quick to stamp out any potential threat to his leadership. To give you a taste of how nasty he was, his superiors, Caesar Augustus himself, made a joke about Herod, Herod the Great. Caesar said this as a joke, "It's better to be Herod's pig than his son." Some of us won't get that joke unless you understand Jewish culture. The reason that Caesar said that, Jews don't eat pork. And so pigs were considered more safe in that territory than Herod's sons were. And if you know anything about Herod, he did end up executing a couple of his sons. So he was a brutal, ruthless king. And so knowing the kind of person he was, when you read verse 8, you kind of wonder, well, why didn't he just say, okay, I'm going to give you a couple soldiers of mine. They're going to give you a ride to Bethlehem and some of the chariots, and we're going to check out this thing that you're telling me has just happened. And then he could have given orders to his soldiers and said, if it is so and you find the Christ, eliminate the king. I mean, he could have done that. Have you ever wondered why he didn't? I've always wondered until I came across this theologian's explanation, and I found it helpful. D.A. Carson said the reason Herod wanted to learn the exact time the star appeared, verse 8, was that he'd already schemed to kill the small boys of Bethlehem, verse 16. Herod's hypocritical humility deceived the Magi. Conscious of his success, Herod sent no escort with them, since the deception depended on winning the Magi's confidence. Herod could scarcely have been expected to foresee God's intervention. Now, we know here a little bit more about maybe what was going on in Herod's heart. But in this live event going on, Joseph didn't know about Herod's wicked plot. Mary didn't know about Herod's wicked plot. Wise men didn't know about Herod's wicked plot. But you know who knew? God knew. God knew, and he wasn't going to let some hard-hearted tyrant stop him from accomplishing his sovereign plan of redemption through his promised son. So listen again to God's protective care. Verse 12, verse 13. Being warned in a dream, this is about the wise men, not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." Now, as we read Luke 2, something about Luke's chapter 1 and 2, you come to understand how dirt poor Mary and Joseph were. They were so dirt poor when it came time to offering the lamb at the temple, they didn't have enough to provide a lamb. But the law said, if you're poor, you can offer two turtle doves. That's what they offered. So we know they were dirt poor. And so when they receive message from God through a dream, move from Bethlehem to Egypt. If you're dirt poor, what's that going to do to you, a move like that? It's going to be taxing on you financially. But God, in his protective care, did something amazing by bringing the wise men there. And what did they dump in the lap of this family? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Everything they needed for the journey and for the duration of being away. God took care of them. He provided them for them in unique and marvelous ways. And so because God in his protective care provided for them, this is what happened. Verse 14, Joseph rose, took the child and his mother by night, departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. So we hear all this, and I just encourage you to praise God for protecting his promised son and accomplishing his perfect will through him. Because if God didn't do that, you know what that means for you and I? We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't probably be at a Christmas Eve special service together. So be sure to trust God's protective care in your own personal life as you go from here, and cling to this promise also in regards to his will for your life. He says to all who belong to him, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Cling to that promise. Lastly, I encourage you this Christmas to celebrate God's promises fulfilled. The end of verse 15, it says, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. You hear that and you're going, okay, which prophet? There were many of them in the Old Testament. Well, you dig in and you know Matthew here is quoting from Hosea. And Hosea is a unique prophet. It's a fascinating read if you've never read Hosea in the Old Testament. He was a prophet who was married to a lady named Gomer. And the Bible is very vivid that Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. And yet, Hosea still pursued her as she continued to be unfaithful to him. And he continued to love her as she continued to be unfaithful to him. And this marriage that you're able to read about, it was intentionally unpacked. The dirty laundry was aired so that God's people would see, oh, this relationship, this is a symbol of how we are in relationship to God. Israel, like Gomer, was unfaithful to God. They were pursuing and worshiping other gods. And obviously, as you read through the Old Testament, you will read that there were consequences for their choices, for their actions, for their unfaithfulness. But God, in his amazing love and grace, he did also assure his people that he would never leave them. He promised to provide them salvation. So I'm going to leave Matthew 2, and we're going to end by looking at what he quoted here in Hosea chapter 11. Verse 1 of Hosea 11 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Here, Hosea the prophet is reminding his people that in Genesis chapter 46, God protected his very own people from a severe famine that's just destroyed the surrounding territory. And if you recall, God used Joseph to be second in charge in Egypt at that time and told Pharaoh, save enough so when the famine comes, we'll have plenty and be able to survive during these 7 years of famine. Well, Israel in the promised land, Jacob, his family, they were running out of food. And you can read all about that back and forth journey to get food. And then when Joseph learns that his father and family are well, he moves them to Egypt. God's doing all this. And that action saved God's people, kept them alive. It's incredible. So Hosea here in verse 1 of chapter 11 is reminding his people that God moved that family of seven to Egypt to protect them from that famine. And while they were in Egypt, a family of 70, God blessed them. And they started to grow and grow and grow to the point of almost 2.2 million by the time the Exodus comes. They're becoming a great nation, just like God promised Abraham. And so much so that after Joseph died and the Pharaoh that he had a good relationship with passed, the new Pharaoh says, in order to keep our country and not get overrun by them, we're going to make them our slaves. And so God's people were slaves of the Egyptians for 430 years. But God finally rescued his people, delivered them from slavery, and brought them into the promised land. And we call that event the Exodus. So Hosea is reminding his people of this significant moment in their history. And he goes on in verses 2 through 4, and he says, "The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke of their jaws. And I bent down to them, and I fed them." So here you can just hear what Hosea is saying to these people. God did all this for you, protected you, delivered you, brought you to the land that he promised. And you, unfortunately, were not faithful to him. You didn't acknowledge all the ways that he protected you and provided for you. And he goes on and says to them, "They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king, because they've refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities, consume the bars of their gates, and devour them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all." So Hosea here continues on and talks to them that in spite of their unfaithfulness, God was still not going to return them to Egypt. But he did show them that God did discipline them for their unfaithfulness, for their disobedience. He goes on and says, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. and I'll return them to their homes, declares the Lord. So even though Israel continued to be unfaithful to her God, God tells them, I will not and I cannot put you away, because he promised, I will be your God and you will be my people. And in order to reconcile his people back to himself, God in this text promised to send them salvation. Promised to send them salvation out of Egypt. Out of Egypt, I will save you from your sins. And so here we are, Matthew 2, and we hear what Hosea quote, you know, his quote from what Hosea said. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Jesus, friends, completes the pattern that Hosea was talking about. God in Matthew 2 protected his son from the wicked tyrant. Verses 19 through 21 tells us, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. What you're hearing right there, the rest of the story, is that God brought his son out of Egypt and into the promised land. The nation now is awaiting salvation, and salvation has come. Jesus saves. And I considered it a delight this whole month of Christmas to just rejoice in all the promises that surround our dear Savior's birth. And so, friends, I just encourage you, let's all finish this year off well, worshiping God's promised Messiah, Savior, Shepherd, Son. Let's continue to trust God's protective care for the remainder of this life, or this year and the next. Let's celebrate God's fulfilled promises, knowing that he fulfilled the promise, verse 15. He fulfilled that in Jesus. He's fulfilled all those promises in Jesus, and there are still some that will be fulfilled. We wait for them, but we know if he filled all these up to this moment, our God will be sure to fill all the others that he has promised to his people. And one of the promises that I look forward to so much came from my Lord's lips himself. In John chapter 14, he says to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise from our Savior for all who believe. We get to look forward to that. We get to celebrate the promises fulfilled and look forward to the promises still to come. And I pray that that will cheer your heart and give you joy as you celebrate Christmas in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for this encouragement from the scriptures, and I pray for the Holy Spirit's help to finish this year off well, rejoicing in your goodness and in your grace to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's some that aren't sure of a relationship with you, please grant them the boldness to come either talk to me or a family member that they're with. And I just pray that they would have a good conversation, that they'd be able to have their eyes open to the truth from your word. And I pray that you would use all that to bring them into a relationship with you through Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you for first loving us through Jesus. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.